Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yesterday, of course, was the 2021 budget speech. I have to tell you, it was an incredible effort to even consider watching it. I know that I'm absolutely exhausted from the words of government. All I'm looking for is a little bit of action. That said, the budget speech is an important indicator as to what is going on in the mind of the ANC. Joining us on the line this morning, Democratic Alliance member of a parliament, Jordan Hill. Lewis, a very, very good morning to you. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us.
Great to be with you, Howard.
So what is the DA's reaction? Well, maybe just give us a bit of an overview as to what Tito Mboweni had to say.
Well, I think the things that we have to welcome, obviously, are the commitment to get debt under control by 2025 and a huge 300 billion rand. Big wage bill. We know that the wage bill has been unsustainable for a long time, and that's welcome. Obviously, we remain to see whether it can be delivered because this hasn't been agreed with any unions yet, Howard. So that's a big if, a very big if.
Okay.
But the commitment, the direction is the right way.
Okay, so that's a positive at least.
That is positive, and so too with the announcements on tax. I think, you know, small business people will be grateful for the 1% reduction in corporate tax. Obviously, it's not a huge amount, but again, it's a show of faith. Then, of course, on the negative side of the balance sheet, the tax increases that we did see disproportionately affect the poor, which I think is a poor decision because, you know, the poor in South Africa spend more of their money on public transport and food, which is very sensitive to the fuel price. So the 27 cents hike in the fuel price directly affects the poor. And then, of course, Howard, you know, the old issue of bailouts. Again, another three bailouts, one for SAA, one for Eskom, a massive one for Eskom, and the new kid on the bailout block is the land bank with 7 billion. So there's positives and negatives.
Right. Yeah, obviously, the two things I care about is driving and alcohol. And those things are going to be quite heavily affected. what is the sense about, what is your feeling, rather, about the comments about the Zondo Commission?
No, I thought that was an unwise comment. I don't know why he said that. I mean, that was almost comical. I don't know if he was making a joke. Sometimes it's difficult to figure out with the minister. But, you know, the reason that the Zondo Commission is taking so long is because it has to investigate nearly every member of the ANC. So the one way...
And some of them refuse to attend, so that makes it go on even a little
exactly,
bit longer.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's two delays. Some ANC members refuse to attend, and you know, Judge Zondo, I think, has found himself with a lot more work than he initially thought would be necessary. So no, that was an unwise comment. I'll certainly take that up with the minister, but he shouldn't have said that.
Right, and of course, for the person listening, what we hear is not that he's trying to save money, but that he's trying to stop the Zondo Commission so there's more money to spend on looting and corruption.
Yeah, exactly. Look, the minister is certainly not supporting a corruption.
No, of course I know that. Of course. I'm not suggesting that he is. But the message is a very, very obscure one. You know, let's spend less money on looking into corruption. Let's rather put that money into the land bank, into SAA, into Eskom, because...
Yeah.
Right. And let's just remember why they need so much money, you know, Dudu Mieni. So I thought it was an incredibly, unwise and strange thing to say because it does, it certainly unnerved me, as somebody who follows this fairly closely.
Yes. You know, and I think the other point to make is that one of the best things we can do for our economy is to be serious about corruption. I mean, every investor, every business person who doesn't want to invest in this country lists corruption as a major cause of the reason why they don't have confidence
Absolutely.
In South Africa. So it's essential that we are seen to be absolutely serious about corruption and that this Zondo Commission is also followed up by a lot of ANC people in orange uniforms.
Absolutely. The sense, or always the concern that many of us have always had, or have had for a while in any event, is that there's either a deliberate lack of reality, or that the ANC lives within their own echo chamber and doesn't see the realities on the ground outside of their plush lifestyles. Do you think that the budget reflected a recognition that it's darn tough out there for South Africans?
Yeah, I presume you meant the ANC house, living in the plush lifestyle.
Yes. I'm talking about the budget that was announced yesterday.
Yeah. So, no, I think that hits the nail on the head. I don't think it reflected reality for poor South Africans, and that's why I was very critical of the decision to give only a 10 rand increase on most of the grants, and I think a 50 rand a month increase on the state pension grant, which translates into an effective 7 cents a day extra for most grant recipients, while you're giving 4 billion, 7 billion to the land bank and 32 billion basically to Eskom. I think these are indefensible choices. And then on top of that, you're making taxi fares and bus fares more expensive. You're making food more expensive because of petrol costs.
Mm-hmm.
So these things are really hitting the poor the most, in order to protect money for bailout. I don't think that is correct choice to make. Obviously, we don't have any choice, I'm afraid. Eskom has a gun to our head, South Africa. We have no choice, I'm afraid, but to pay Eskom. But the other ones, or definitely there is a choice, and I think they made the wrong choice.
That said, though, to some extent, we've seen the ANC securing or continuing to secure a majority, even though it is a diminishing majority, because of the grants and because of the promises it makes to people. So wasn't that, to some extent, a courageous decision, knowing that it could impact on their voter base?
Well, I think that's a generous interpretation. I would, I don't think that it is courageous to say that those who are most vulnerable in our society and those who can least afford it are going to have to pay to balance this budget.
Fair enough.
And as you say, even the alcohol industry, I mean, that industry has had a huge portion of its revenue removed.
That shocked me, I have to say.
State. And as you rightly say, most of us just would like a slightly cheaper drink on a Friday evening. So that also was, I think.
Yeah, I found that also odd. It almost felt like kicking an industry when it's on its knees, and it really is
absolutely
on its knees. Instead of finding ways to assist the industry, as you say, we're assisting the land bank, we're assisting Eskom, which we have to do, we're assisting SAA, which we don't have to do. That money should rather have gone into helping some of the industries that have been absolutely decimated. One of our listeners, Jenny, says, can you please ask your guest why the DA is sending out notices to imply the government land expropriation bill is coming for their apartments in Kilani? I didn't know that it was. Isn't this a cheap way to get people to sign a DA petition? Can you talk to that? I'm not really sure 100% what that's referring to.
I'm very happy to answer that. You said the lady's name was Jenny.
Jenny, yes.
Well, Jenny, let me say that when you write legislation or policy, you must always write it for the worst possible government in mind, not the best government. And part of the problem with South Africa's constitution is that it was written with Nelson Mandela in mind and not Jacob Zuma. So you've got to plan for the worst, not hope for the best. And the fact is the expropriation bill allows for expropriation without compensation of property. And the definition of property includes all property, not just farms. Now, of course, this particular government, the government that is in office now, might say, well, yes, this only applies to farming land and vacant land and so on, the things that they have listed. But we believe that we've got to make sure that the legislation is safe and tight for all time, for the next 50 governments that may come into office. And so we cannot allow a piece of legislation which gives the government that kind of power. It's very dangerous and unhealthy in a democracy, and that's why we say, yes, absolutely, this piece of legislation could give some malicious government in the future the power to take any property without compensation, and we think that that is unacceptable.
Mm. You've actually just reminded me, when I was studying law at university, Tony Leon was a constitutional law lecturer, and at that stage the constitution hadn't been written. It was in the early 90s, and that was exactly the comment that he made, is imagine your worst person, your worst nightmare in the position of power. Now you design a constitution around that in order to protect, in order to protect rights. So how, where to from here? What is the process in government? The budget speech was given yesterday. What kind of process follows this now, follows this, this announcement or this budget announcement?
Okay, so the budget is actually a piece of draft legislation, just like any other bill that comes to Parliament. So it has to go through a full public hearing and committee process, and there's opportunities for amendments as well. So we usually propose dozens, at least dozens, sometimes even more amendments to the budget to try and correct some of the things that we think are wrong. So, for example, we'll definitely try to remove the SAA bailouts and many others. And you know, anyone who is interested actually is able to participate, to come and listen to the meetings in Parliament and to get the Zoom link and participate yourself if you want. And then it goes through the committee process, and then it gets voted on by Parliament probably in about 2 months' time only. And then, you know, then it's passed. Then the President signs it, and it is law, and it is the official budget. But until then, it's a very busy period of debating every aspect of it.
Mm. And does it often get changed at this point? Or is it more ceremonial because the ANC, for example, has the majority?
That's a great question. You know, actually the Parliament has the full power and ability to change it, but the ANC for some reason is very reluctant to do so. So in all the years that I've been there, they have never once amended the budget, even though they have often said that they don't agree with this or that, or they'd really like to change this or that. They've never used the power that they actually have as parliamentarians to amend it. And it's very strange. I've always asked myself why that is, because it doesn't necessarily have to be seen as a big showdown with the minister. You can just say, well, we've come to a different conclusion on this matter and we're going to change it. But for some reason, they have always veered away from changing it and have basically followed the instruction of the minister.
Which has been kind of part of the problem of the ANC in any event, that we certainly don't see very much robust debate happening within the parliament. It's sort of one party line, but it is interesting nevertheless. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us. Very, very interesting conversation. We've been talking about the 2021 budget speech that is the Democratic Alliance member of a parliament, Jordan Hill Lewis, talking to us this morning, giving us his reaction to the budget.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.